Hello and welcome to Sangam Lit. This is Nandini Karki, and in this episode we perceive the emotion of possessiveness as portrayed in Sangam literary work Natrinai 390, penned by Avvayar. The verse is situated in the agricultural regions of Marudam and speaks in the voice of a courtesan to her friend, passing on a hidden message to the friends of another courtesan. வாழை வாழின் பிறள நாளும் பொய்கை நீர்நாய் வைகுதுயில் ஏற்கும் கைவன் கிள்ளி வெண்ணி சூழ்ந்த வயல் வெள்ளாம்பல் உருவ நெறித்தளை ஐது அகல் அல்குள் அணிப்பெற தயி விளவின் செலியர் வேண்டும் மண்ணோ யானர் ஊரன் காணுனன் ஆயின் வரையாமையோ அரிதே வரையின் வரைபோல் யானை வாய்மொழி முடியன் வரைவே புறையும் நல்தோள் அழிய தோழி தொலையுன பலவே. Opening with the words "Vaalai vaalin pirala," meaning the silver scabbard fish leaps like a sword, the verse conjures a picture-perfect simile connecting the appearance of this long eel-like fish with a sword. Incidentally, this fish belongs to the family of cutlass fish, and what is a cutlass if not another name for the very sword mentioned in this ancient verse? Adding to the wildlife also appears an otter in Nirnai. As if the bell for the next hour has been rung, in the succeeding line the subject changes from biology to history and we get to meet the king Killi and his town Venni, as well as the white lilies growing in the fields of this town in Vayal Vel Ambal. The phrase Vilavin Seliyar Vendum Mannu, meaning should leave to the festivity, shouldn't I, expresses the core theme of the verse. Thereafter, we get to meet another King Mudian and the mountain bamboos that grow in his land in Varai Vey. The verse ends with Tholayuna Palave, meaning the loss is plenty and intrigues our curiosity. The man and lady had been leading a married life when the man took to keeping the company of a courtesan. At this time, the man's courtesan hears of the arrival of a new courtesan to the town's festivities. She fears that she will lose her man to this courtesan's beauty, and so one day, seeing the friends of the new courtesan nearby, she says to her friend, "While the scabbard fish leaps looking like a sword, the otter in the pond sleeps during the day in Venni, the town of the generous king Killi. Adorning my soft and wide loins with a well-woven garment in the hue of white lilies that grow in this town, I must leave to the festivities. If that wealthy man were to see me, it would be hard for him to part without uniting with me. If he were indeed to do so, those fine arms, akin to bamboos that grow in the mountains of the truthful Mudian, the possessor of hill-like elephants, would be pitied, for they will lose their great beauty." With these words, the courtesan expresses how the man would remain steadfast to her, no matter the lure of the newcomers. Time to delve into the details. The first image that this courtesan sketches is that of a scabbard fish leaping up, flashing like a shiny sword. Indeed, that's an image that we can't take our eyes off. However, there's an otter in the pond that seems to be unaware of all this drama and is sleeping calmly during the day. A moment to meander. On exploring, I found the common freshwater otter found in India is the Asian small-clawed otter, which is said to appear in the regions around the Nilgiri and Palani hills situated in Tamil Nadu. The fact that connects this species of otter to this verse is that they are said to be active during the night. If a worker is doing the night shift, you can expect them to sleep during the day, and so does this otter as captured by the courtesan's words. She has described the scene to mention the town of Venni, belonging to the generous Chola king Killi, where white lilies bloom in the fields. In turn, those white lilies are mentioned to present the hue of the garment that the courtesan plans to wear. In Natrinai 328, we saw how it was custom to present white cloth and sesame oil to dancing girls. So we can conclude that the courtesan is boasting about the whiteness of her dress by placing it in parallel to the lilies in Killi's town. Where is the courtesan planning to go all dressed up in white? It's to the festivity, she says. Then she continues adding that if the wealthy lord were to glance her way, he would want to be with her. If he were to do so, the fine arms of that new courtesan, which she equates to the bamboos in the hills of King Mudian, who possesses hill-like elephants, would lose their acclaimed beauty, the courtesan concludes. In that scene of the otter sleeping, even when the scabbard fish is leaping about, the courtesan places a metaphor for how the man would not change his mind no matter the radiant beauty of the new courtesan. Here's a verse where the entire focus of the women is on the man. Possessiveness and jealousy rise their heads in this expression. The dearth of men owing to death in battles and wealth-gathering missions is the central cause for this state of affairs. Holding on to a man, breaking the morale of the competing woman, sounds like the singular aim of this protagonist. Curiously, it reminded me of similar situations in fairy tales about how the only thing that a female character could do was to wait for the prince to come to her rescue. And yesterday, my son mentioned a connection with one such fairy tale in a comic book called Catwalk that he was reading. In the original story of Rapunzel, the princess is cursed with incredibly long tresses and locked in a tower. All she can do is wait for a prince to come on a horse and save her. In the story my son described, the prince does come and ask her to let down her long hair so that he can rescue her. But she shouts back saying, "I have cut my hair into a mohawk." After this, she tricks the prince, ties him up with the long cords of her hair and escapes the tower. Then she opens a mohawk hair saloon and gives haircuts to one and all, living happily ever after. Returning to the verse, the past is the past and they lived lives according to their reality, which we cannot judge with our hindsight. However, it makes one realize what a gratifying time this is when a woman need not be preoccupied with a man. She has all it takes to make her life her own. Thanks for listening to this episode of Sangam Lit and journeying with me to ancient lands and minds. Please rate and review Sangam Lit on your favorite podcast app and do visit nandinikarki.com to share your thoughts. Until next time, Nandri Vanakkam.